It's good to see everybody here. Please continue to remember the pastor and Miss Angela as they are in Polkville preaching today. Leaving in the morning, going to Arizona for the camp meeting. So pray for safety and travel. Pray that the Lord will bless the preaching of His Word and bless that camp meeting out there. Thank God for a pastor that somebody wants to hear preach, right? Amen. Some people got pastors don't want nobody to hear him preach. That's just how it is, right? Thank God for somebody that wants to hear our pastor preach. He's a good preacher, man. Good pastor. So, John chapter 3 this morning. We're going to pick back up where we left off last week. And we talked last week, scripture where Jesus said you must be born again. And wasn't so much on the born again part that we were talking about, because we've been going through that a lot lately. You must be born again. You must be saved. And we talked about how, what transactions take place when you get saved, when you place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, some things happen. And it's a new birth and spiritual baptism and spiritual circumcision, all three spiritual. But we talked last week about why we must be born again. And it's because we're wicked, right? In our heart of hearts is wicked, and that's why we must be born again. And must be born again because we can't keep ourselves saved. There's just no way you can keep yourself saved. You can't do it. You know, couldn't keep ourselves saved before we got out of this service. Probably already been in the flesh, already about something. So John chapter number 3, we're going to start verse number 8. The Bible says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. It's Jesus talking about being born again of the Spirit. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? So here's a religious leader, and he just didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. What our children understand. Think about that, right? People say, oh, everybody in the Bible saved the same way, and, you know, it's always been by grace through faith. Our children understand that you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. Yep. Here was a man that knew all the Torah. He might could have quoted that thing, the Old Testament scriptures. He didn't have a clue what he was talking about, because the Bible says the church was a mystery. Being born again by faith in Jesus Christ was a mystery that wasn't revealed until the church age began, when Jesus was resurrected, right? That was a freebie. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knoweth not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Brother Ted, would you pray for us?
Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and just thank you for letting us come out here and worship this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, just spend some time with you, Lord. Just thank you, Brother. Sunday school lesson this morning. The Lord's been doing a good job. Thank you for it, Lord. Just bless the service. Everything that happens here today, Lord Jesus, let us get something out of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. New birth is likened to wind. Ezekiel 37. It's where God blew on them old bones, and He was speaking to the nation of Israel. And that wasn't the individual's resurrection. He's speaking nationally that in tribulation period, all the Jews that remain and alive are going to see Jesus. Yep. And understand that He's their Messiah. He was the one all along. But He speaks of blowing His breath on those bones and them bones coming back to life. The Bible compares the Holy Spirit and the spirit of man to a wind. Genesis 2 and 7. Now, God created man, right? Formed him out of the dust of the ground. And the Bible says He blew into his nostrils the breath of life. Amen. and man became a living soul. Holy Spirit, the Spirit in the Bible is compared to a wind, a breath. That's why you get the breath knocked out of you. You can't do a stinking thing, can you? You ever got hit right there? That's a bad spot to get hit, ain't it? That breath will go from you, and boy, you freeze up and you are done. When somebody dies, they are no longer breathing, are they?
Amen.
Now, you can't see wind, can you? You can see the effects of wind. If wind, a tornado, it picks up dirt and debris, and you say, I see that wind. You don't. You see that dirt, and you see them houses in it, and them cows floating around, and all y'all watching The Wizard of Oz, y'all seen that one with that bicycle in it. You can't actually see the wind, can you? I remember when I was a little boy, and I was raised up on Main Street, Liesville, North Carolina. And I was standing on the sidewalk. And I was dribbling my basketball, working on my basketball skills. And the wind started getting up a little bit. I didn't pay that no attention, you know. And I was dribbling. And about that time, something hit us right there. And it just took my basketball out of my hand. And here it is, we're going right down the middle of the road. And right there where I lived, the road kind of forked off to the right, went down a little bit. And my basketball went that way. So I'm going to go get my basketball, right? 7, 8, 9-year-old boy. So I take off running after the basketball, and I'm running down the sidewalk, and a house across the street from us has some big old pecan trees in the yard. So I'm running down the sidewalk, and about that time, one of them pecan trees just, boom, gets blowed over. I was a little boy. I didn't know nothing about a tornado, which I don't think that's what it was. I didn't know nothing about a microburst. I didn't know nothing about that. But when I saw that tree fall over, I turned around and went to the house. I knew something wasn't right. Little child, I knew something wasn't right. People may not know a single solitary thing about this old Bible, but when they hear the gospel and it gets in that heart and they know repent and turn to Jesus Christ, they don't know about when.
Come on.
Yep. They don't know about the Holy Spirit. Yep. All they know is God's dealing with them, and they need to come to Jesus Christ. Good. And they don't understand what we understand, right? When you first got saved, you probably didn't understand a single solitary thing like you do now. But that transaction took place, right? Yep. The Bible compares the new birth to when. You can't see when. It's a spiritual transaction. So therefore, salvation is not tied in with things that you can see. Many people in this old world, most people in this world, believe that salvation has to do with the sacrament. It's something you got to eat. The priest has to put it on your tongue. That's wrong there. Ain't no man putting nothing in my mouth. It's wrong. Or getting into some water, whether it be through sprinkling, that's not even biblical. Or immersion. A lot of people believe that you have to get in here and have the pastor baptize you in this water in order to be saved. That's not so. It's something you should do. And if you're saved and hadn't done it, you need to talk to the pastor to get taken care of. It's a sign to this old world of the inward thing that's happened to you, right? Amen. That spirit being, Jesus said in verse number 8, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's a spiritual transaction. It's compared to the wind. It's something you cannot see. Something you can't do. Something you can't drum up. But look at verse number 9, what he begins to talk about. Here's Nicodemus. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? He didn't understand how it could be just spiritual, right? It wasn't to him. It was scriptures and laws and what you wore and what you had on. These people was the first holiness crowd. Because all that had to be right and the borders had to be right. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? He was a master of Israel. He was the religious guy. And the fact of the matter is, in this old world right now that we live in, most religious folks won't receive what we just talked about. They will not receive the fact that there's nothing you can do to be saved. They will not receive the fact that there's no act you can commit and no thing that you have to get right to be saved or keep yourself saved. That religious crowd will not receive it. I've said this many times. You probably heard me say it. The cross of Calvary is so despised because it leaves no room for man's achievements.
Yep.
Nothing. It stands alone. It stands by itself. There's nothing you and I can add to it. There's nothing you and I can take away from it. It is God reaching out to mankind, and that's the only way to be saved and make heaven your home. There's nothing we can add to it. I heard people talking about maintaining a case of salvation. Ah, what? You get a case of a stinking measles or mumps or something, man. You don't get a case of salvation. It must be something they can see and do for the religious crowd to feel like they're in God's will. Somehow they belong to God. That's directly contrary to what the Bible says. That's throwing things up in the face of God. That somehow what Jesus did wasn't enough. It's Jesus plus me. It's Jesus plus the clothes I wear. It's Jesus plus the hair I have. It's Jesus plus the money I give. It's Jesus plus the water that me and the preacher got into. Religious folks won't receive the fact that being born again of the Spirit is something that only God can do when you place your faith and trust in Him. That's it. Look at verse number 11. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." If you've been saved very long and tried to talk to people and prayed for people, you understand that most people will not believe your witness. They just won't. They have preconceived notions. They have preconceived ideas about what it takes to be saved. They have preconceived notions about you. And some of them are right, some of them are wrong. They have preconceived notions about what church is. Some of them are right or some of them are wrong. But they will not receive your witness. What's a witness? What's the word mean? It means a testimony or to attest to a fact.
Yeah.
When you tell someone, "I got saved," you know what? You know in your heart of hearts, if you're saved, you know it's a fact. Mm-hmm. But you can't lay a finger on it, can you? You can't get yourself into it. You can't eat it. You know something happened. It's down inside and it changed it, but you know what? They can go get a self-help book and change themselves too, right? And so the world won't receive your witness. I tell you what they will believe. They will believe that one day nothing blew up and all this earth happened.
Yeah.
That's what the Big Bang is, right? Yeah. There was nothing and nothing blew up and made you. But yet, they don't have faith to be saved. Man, you got faith enough to save everybody if you believe that. You just putting it in the wrong thing. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It takes faith to believe that.
Yes, sir.
It takes faith to believe that not even something. There's nothing. They don't even believe there was a particle. They just believe there was nothing and it blew up. I can see, well, there was an offering plate one day and it blew up. That ain't right, right? But there's something to blow up.
Yeah, right.
Or else they believe that, you know, after all that, it blew up, right? And then the earth formed and then the tadpole. And for some reason, tadpole crawled out the water. He wasn't satisfied. There's a little bit of validity in that. We just ain't satisfied, are we? But the tadpole wasn't satisfied, so we crawled out and began to walk around. And then he figured out it was quicker to go on 2 feet than 4 feet, man. That's what. And then the tail fell off one day. And
yeah.
Now Miss Hannah can play that piano. Yeah, it happens like that, right? How much faith does it take to believe that? But yet they won't believe when you tell them I was lost in this old world, bound for hell, and one day God convicted my heart, and I said, "Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sin, saved me." And He changed my heart, He changed my life, He changed where I'm going to spend eternity. They won't believe that.
Glory.
They won't believe that all this came from a creator. And this is kind of beat down lesson, right? But we're going to get somewhere with it. Look at verse number 12. So Jesus said, look, they won't believe our testimony. They won't believe our witness. Look at verse number 12. He said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, Nicodemus had came to him, and he said, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he acknowledged himself in his mind anyway that Jesus was from God because he was doing things, right? And he said, no man can do them of his own, but yet when Jesus tried to tell him about heavenly things, he wouldn't have it. Earthly things. Hold your place here. And turn to Luke chapter 24 with me. Earthly things. What kind of earthly things were he telling them? What were they talking about? Look at Luke chapter 24, verse number 19. So here's the two men on the road. Two men, women, whatever, people, man, woman. Look at Luke 24, verse 19. He said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. What earthly things was they talking about? The things that Jesus did on the earth, right? He was mighty indeed. Look at verse number 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What earthly thing? They had the scriptures. And Jesus came and he began to fulfill the scriptures. His birth. Eventually his death, his resurrection, the deeds that he did. The things that he said all fulfilled the things that were in the scriptures. Earthly things that these people were seeing in Jesus Christ. Yet they still wouldn't receive the heavenly. Let me show you another one. Turn to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. End of the book of John, Gospel according to John. And you can help yourself on this one, but I'm going to tell you what I believe. Mm-hmm. I believe what the Bible says.
Yep.
For I believe. Look at John 21 and 25. John said, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Now, some people say they don't say that thing right. The Bible says that if everything was written that Jesus did, the world itself could not contain the books. The world. It'd fill the world up and sink it and knock it out of orbit if all the things that Jesus did were written. That's physical things, spiritual things, that's what I believe. Some people say, the books in the world couldn't contain all that would be written. That's not what it said. It didn't say the books that are written couldn't contain what he did. It said the earth itself couldn't contain the books. Did a lot of earthly things, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Believe he did. Back to John chapter 3. And even I just read a scripture, Nicodemus himself said that we know thou art our teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said, if I have told you earthly things and you will believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? The Bible is a heavenly thing, isn't it? It is. It's God's inerrant word. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It just is. It is a heavenly thing. But you know what else it is? It's an earthly thing, isn't it? You can hold it in your hand. You can put it in your lap. God speaks to you by the scripture. You can put a note there. You can mark it. You can memorize it. You can let it sit on your coffee table and get, you ain't gonna let it get dust on it. We clean up too much, but you cannot read it. You can have one of them. You can have 55 of them. The scriptures are, the Bible, it's King James Bible, is a heavenly thing, but it's an earthly thing also. You know what people won't believe? Jesus said, if I tell you the earthly things and you won't believe them, how can I tell you the heavenly? People won't believe it's God's word. Well, man wrote it. It's been messed with. There are different ones. How you know it's right? It's man's opinion. That's what they say.
Yeah.
You and I know differently. If they won't believe the earthly, they won't believe the heavenly, and vice versa. They won't believe what God said. They won't believe what you tell them either. Let me show you something. Turn to Luke chapter 16 with me. Let's look at a believer. Luke chapter 16. This man right here straight up is a believer. Once he got on fire. Luke chapter 16, look at verse number 27. This is the rich man, right? Speaking to Abraham. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He believes now, don't he? He wants somebody to go tell his brothers, do not come to this place. It's real. He believes the earthly things now, doesn't he? He believes the heavenly things that Jesus spoke about now. Look at verse number 29. Look what Abraham said. And Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Abraham said, they got the book. They got the scriptures.
Amen.
Let them hear what that's saying. And he said unto them, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. He said, if they won't hear what the book says, even if somebody comes back from the grave, they won't receive it. Somehow they'll put a scientific explanation on it, won't it? Somehow they'll explain it away through man's knowledge if they won't hear the book. No, it's all about the book. We should witness, right? And we should live like Christian people. And we should be kind to people. But you know what it's about? It's about the book. That book's what's going to get inside someone and make a difference.
Amen.
That book's what's going to convict the heart. Turn back to John chapter 3 with me. John chapter number 3. So if they ain't going to hear the book, and they're not going to be able to understand heavenly things or earthly things, why we do what we do? Sound like a conundrum, don't it? It's a big word, ain't it? That means a bind. Sounds like a bind, don't it? Look at verse number 13. John 3:13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. No man ascended. Well, Enoch ascended. Elijah ascended. One day Moses is, during tribulation period, is going to be resurrected and ascended. But Enoch and Elijah and Moses didn't ascend of their own power. Jesus Christ descended and ascended of his own power. Jesus is God. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The book doesn't say Jesus was manifest in the flesh. There's a Jesus in Mexico right now somewhere. They call him Jesus. Right? Didn't say Jesus was manifest in the flesh. It says God was manifest in the flesh. And then that verse says, even the Son of Man which is in heaven now. Physically, he was on earth. It could only be one place in that physical body, but he was still God. He was still omnipresent. He can be everywhere. People think, well, the devil, he'll get you here and there. No, he won't. He can only be one place. He's a created being, no matter how powerful he is. He's got angels, fallen angels, evil spirits, all that's true. But he himself can only be one place. There's only one God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. These three are one. There's only one God. He's omnipresent.
Yep.
You know that you in two places right now if you're saved? According to what the Bible says.
Yeah.
It says we made to sit down in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you explain that one to me as you sit here.
Yeah.
Because it's God. That's why. Jesus is God. If they won't receive earthly or heavenly things, why do we witness? Why do we pray, etc.? I tell you why. Because there is a God in heaven and there is power in his words.
Right. Yep.
That's why. That's why when things look bleak, we keep on doing what we're doing. That's why when things look bad, we keep on doing what we're doing. That's why when somebody we love won't receive Jesus and dies and goes to hell, we keep on doing because the next one might receive it. That's why we do what we do. You know, Nicodemus, we don't see him in John chapter 3. We don't see him leave. We don't see him saved. We don't see nothing. Conversation just makes you wonder what all happened to old Nicodemus, don't it? Let me show you a couple instances in the Bible what God's word will do. Now, we may not see fruit instantly. We may not see fruit for days, weeks, years. You may not see fruit on this life. These people you've been praying for and witnessing to for years that you might die and go home to heaven and they get saved after you leave.
Yep.
Let's look at a couple of people. Acts chapter 18, it's the first one. A man named Sosthenes. Them old Jews had some strange names, but them Greeks weren't much better, was they? Sosthenes. So here's Paul, Acts chapter 18. He went to Corinth, he began to preach, and he was preaching. They were smacking it down, man, and people were being saved, and even some of the religious leaders, the Jews, the heads of the synagogues were being saved, and he was just turning that place upside down. But some of them wouldn't have it, and he didn't care. He went on to another man's house and began to preach. And the more Jews finally got fed up with it, man. So look at verse number 12 with me, Acts 18 and 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law." He was telling them about Jesus. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will not judge such matters." And he drave them from the judgment seat. Look at verse 17. Here's this Sosthenes, religious leader, a Jew. Look what the Greeks done to him. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue. He was running the synagogue, man. He was the head honcho Jew. And beat him before the judgment seat, and Gallio cared for none of these things. He was going to get Paul and them run out. Here this man was going to get him run out. He didn't get the job done, and them Greeks just took and just beat him down, son. Hated Paul. Wanted Paul out, wanted him gone. Might have wanted him killed, I don't know. But either way, Paul was preaching Jesus Christ, and this man that was the chief ruler of the synagogue couldn't take it anymore. He's ready to get Paul and Jesus Christ and that gospel out of his life. He had heard it enough. He had heard it and been hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, and Paul preaching that word and Paul hammering that word and Paul preaching Jesus Christ. And this man had heard it till he felt like his head was going to blow up. He was sick of it, ready to get gone. Sosthenes. Sounds like a mean dude, don't he? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians. Corinth, right? That's where Paul was, right? At Corinth, preaching. 1 Corinthians. Paul went there, preached, started some churches. Later on, he writes them boys a letter. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. What happened to Sosthenes? Sosthenes heard that word, and he heard it preached, and he heard it preached, and he heard it preached, and he was sick of it, and he was tired of it, and he wanted to get it gone, and he wound up getting himself beat down. But eventually, if Sosthenes is our brother, eventually that word broke Sosthenes down, didn't it?
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
That son you got, that daughter they got, they hard and they mean and they raised in church and they sick of it and they're out there and they're not going to have it. But you know what? If that word's in him, it's beating on him and it's beating on him and it's pricking that heart.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yep.
God's merciful. He's long-suffering.
Yep.
And it might come a day when they like old Sosthenes. That's why we do what we do. That's why even though they won't receive it, we keep preaching and we keep praying and we keep telling them and we keep loving them. That's why.
Yep.
But what about old Nicodemus? He came to Jesus. He didn't understand that stuff, man. He was just, I don't understand. Then we see him. He's just gone, right? We don't know what happened to him in John chapter 3. He just was no more. But the Bible does speak about Nicodemus some more. No, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, didn't he? He was a master of the Jews, what Jesus acknowledged him as being. And there Jesus was, the Jews, religious leaders thought he was a heretic, so he comes sneaking in at night, don't he? Nobody won't see him. Going to speak to Jesus. Turn to John chapter 7 with me. The Gospel according to John chapter number 7. So here Jesus was, man, he preached to Nicodemus, told him you must be born again, and Nicodemus, he is just gone. But that word Jesus put in his heart wasn't gone. That word Jesus put in his heart wasn't gone, it was in there. And it was in his mind, and it was running around his mind, he couldn't get away from that thing. Witness to a man Friday. That morning, man come back that evening, he said, that is all I've been able to think about, what you told me. That's what he said. That's all I've been able to think about. John chapter number 7, verse number 42. Verse number 45, I'm sorry. Verse number 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. They sent the officers out to get Jesus, and Jesus talked to them, and them boys just turned around and walked off. Just didn't know what to do about it. Then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? That's a good question, right? Have any of the ruler of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? You know what they're saying? Are you one of his? Are you one of his? So here's Nicodemus. The first time we see him, he's sneaking in by night, right? The second time, he's taken up for Jesus.
Yep.
Now they ask him, are you also of Galilee? Search the scriptures. Are you one of his too? And
yep. He
ain't stand up, right? But that ain't left his mind, has it? He said, do we judge a man before we hear him and see what he doeth? You know what's happening? That word that Jesus put in there is working on Nicodemus, man. It's working on him. You can see it in your family's lives and your people's lives. Not all the time, but every now and then they'll pop up and have a question, won't they? Every now and then they'll look like they got the weight of the world on their shoulders, and what that is conviction of God on them. So here's Nicodemus now. We see him the first time he's sneaking by night. The second time he's taking up for Jesus a little bit, right? But he ain't ready to step all the way out. That's not the last time we see Nicodemus. Turn to John chapter number 19. Jesus crucified. Dead. Didn't swoon. Wasn't playing. Wasn't pretending. He was dead. Look at verse number 38. John chapter 19, verse number 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight, and they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And they go on, they place him in a tomb.
Amen.
So the first time we see Nicodemus, he's sneaking into Jesus by night.
Amen.
Don't want nobody seeing.
Yep.
He's a religious leader. He's got position. He's got power. He can't let his co-workers and his bosses see him coming to Jesus first time, right? And Jesus told him, said, you must be born again. Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. There's nothing you can do. Ye must be born again. And that word, there's power in that word. Y'all know that?
Yes, sir.
That word's in there, and once it's in there, it's in there. You might fight it the rest of your life and go to hell, but it's in there.
Yeah.
And it ain't coming out.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah.
God's word will not return to him void. It's going to do what it's going to do. So next time we see Nicodemus, he's taken up for Jesus in front of his homies, in front of his co-workers, his boss. The last time we see Nicodemus, you know what he's doing? Openly. Carrying the body of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Don't care who sees it. Mm-hmm. You know why? Because there's power in that book.
Yes, sir.
There's power in that word. You know what you can do? You know what you do when you tell someone you must be born again? You know what you're doing? You're telling them the exact same thing that Jesus told Nicodemus. Exact same thing, exact same words, exact same book, exact same Savior, exact same God, exact same wicked-hearted person, same heart, exact same power. You know what? They ain't going to receive it. They don't want to hear it. But you just keep on telling them. There is a God in heaven, and there is power in this book. Did you pray for us, Kyle?